there's at least that one thing that we can really connect on and that I can accept because I've had to accept it myself, or that I struggle to accept because I haven't accepted it in myself. And so that's where some of the magic can happen as well when you do it as a group, is seeing those things you have in common, whereas the easiest thing to focus on is the differences we have.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. Good to see you guys again. I'm very excited today for our candid conversation because this gentleman has played a huge role in our life. He takes a realm of alternative education to a new level and really did change things, not only for my own understanding of myself, but our children. And Jamie and I are huge fans, and he's become a friend. His name is Mr. Dave Rendall. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave.
Happy to be here.
Yep. And he is a best-selling author of the book, The Freak Factor, and The Freak Factor for Kids, which we're going to get into. Top speaker, consultant, and really has made a dent in the strategy that he's designed called The Freak Factor. And we thought it'd be important to have you on today, Dave, because as you know, we've all been brought home, family life, work life. And we can either use this time of a struggle or see the golden thread, see the silver linings. And we think right now what you teach with the Freak Factor could be huge for parents to learn a lot about their children and themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just share a quick story. I mean, if I can, there another entrepreneur that you guys might know. We were on the phone like a couple weeks ago after this first started happening. We were talking about something else, and he goes, man, my son is killing it in online school at home. He goes, he's loving it. He was struggling with school and he was frustrated and he didn't really like it. And then they sent everybody home and told him to do their work at home and put him on the computer and he's crushing it. He goes, doesn't your daughter do some kind of online school? I think I'm going to look into it. I think this might be fantastic. And he never would have discovered that if this wouldn't have happened, right? And he's seeing his son has different strengths, whereas before it just looked like weaknesses because of the environment he was in, right? Traditional school. And so now he's looking at an alternative because they were forced into a situation where his son's strengths became evident when they weren't before. And so I think this is an amazing time for us to maybe see ourselves and maybe our kids in a different way. And that's just a perfect example that's already sort of come out in the last couple of weeks.
Perfect example.
That's a great example. And I actually, before you started that, I was saying, I wrote a little note saying, wow, this boiling pot is you know, I was wondering if you were seeing some of these strengths becoming really strong and just likewise, the weaknesses becoming really strong as well, being able to see those different characteristics.
Yeah, and I don't have a specific example for it yet, but I'm guessing it's out there. There's probably also kids who were crushing it in traditional school, and now they're at home and they're struggling with the lack of structure, the lack of clarity, the need to use new systems, being away from all their friends. Maybe that's the thing that made school so enjoyable, is they're extroverted people who enjoy having everyone around, and now they're on lockdown with maybe one brother or sister, or maybe none. Maybe they're all at home alone with no other kids. And so I think we can watch out for both of those things to see that not only do those weaknesses sometimes have strengths, and when you put somebody in a new situation, you see them thrive. You can also see somebody who seemed very strong in that other situation start to struggle a little bit because the new situation doesn't really match who they are and doesn't fit who they are. And that doesn't make them bad or wrong, but it means we just can't expect that, because we think about things that way. I have good kids, or I have somebody who's a good student. Yeah. No, they're a good student at school in the traditional situation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you pull that away, now you have a different person that you need to learn about, not just assume they're fine because they've always been fine. They might be struggling more than somebody else.
Because of the new environment. But yeah. To retract that back, I mean, the Freak Factor, again, I want to dive into the test in a minute, but I want to use you as an example because we've talked about it personally and then in the kids' book. You, for example, because I want to give hope of what you've achieved is phenomenal, and we love, you were not good in school, Dave. You were not. But I'll give a few examples of the things that got you in trouble but actually have made you who you are today. I love those examples for our parents that don't know it. I mean, give a couple of the examples.
Yeah. I mean, it's the classics, right? It's the troublemaker. It's the class clown. So I was in trouble because I couldn't sit still. couldn't be quiet and wouldn't do what I was told, right? And so that's obnoxious and rebellious and inappropriate, immature, no self-discipline, no self-control. And to be clear too, I wasn't one of those kids who was like, I'm gonna show you, someday you're gonna see. I was like, if all the adults, parents, teachers, and ultimately employers think I'm broken, I probably am, right? If they think I'm gonna fail, I probably will. I wasn't one of those people who were like, I know better. I was like, how come I can't be the way I'm supposed to be, right? I wasn't defiant about it. I didn't have the ability to control it. And so I thought I was broken because they said I was broken. And like you said in your introduction, now I get paid to stand up, not to sit down. I get paid to talk, not to be quiet. I get paid to run my own business, not to do what other people tell me to do. All of those weaknesses were weaknesses. I'm not saying your kids don't have weaknesses. I'm not saying students don't have weaknesses, but they were also what? They were also strengths, again, in the right situation. And as an adult, I was able to not even so much find those situations as create those situations. As an entrepreneur, you're not finding a job, you're creating a job. Mm-hmm. And when I found those situations, I was like, oh, hey, wait a second. Not only am I not like damaged and worthless, but I have huge potential that I didn't even know about either, because these things that everybody thought were wrong about me are right. I mean, another quick example too is, you know, being hyperactive. We call that ADHD. We give kids medicine. It's supposedly, you know, almost a pandemic like this virus. You know, oh man, the cases keep rising and we've got to do something about this. And now as an adult, I do Ironman triathlons and people go, wow, that's amazing that you can, you know, go 2.4 miles of swimming and 112 miles of biking and 26.2 miles of running. That's a really high level of activity. It's like, yeah, I've always been like that. They used to say, you're hyperactive, you need medicine. Now people go, wow, you're awesome. That's inspiring. Yeah. You're like, but I'm the same person. Those are the same characteristics. We're beating these kids down, sometimes not physically, but with medicine, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, telling them that that's terrible. And then meanwhile, we complain that people don't go outside enough and they're not active enough. And it's like, what do you want? And so I think we need to make sure we're looking at people more clearly. And as you said, seeing both sides, the weakness always has a strength. And I learned that sort of through my own experience.
Which I think is one of the greatest gifts we can give to our kids right now. And again, going back to even one of the most basic ones that you said, hey, I was this tall, skinny, awkward kid. Well, the tall, skinny, awkward kid ended up getting a college scholarship for basketball. You can see that at that. So what I love about the Freak Factor, Dave, is you taught me and my children to say, we have certain freak powers that are all different from each other. They're going to come with an ability to accelerate us, and they're going to have weaknesses to them. But can you unpack that? Like, what is the Freak Factor test? So that
An
overview, because I'd love to start getting people turned over to you to start taking them like your family has.
Yeah. The Freak Factor assessment is really simple. It's just right now it's 3 pages. Working on actually turning it into with another entrepreneur, working on turning it into an online assessment that people can take, just like the DISCs, just like the MBTI, just like StrengthsFinder, where people can answer questions and get reports and learn about this. But right now, it's real simple. You look at a list of 52 strengths, and you pick your top 5 strengths. You look at your list of 52 weaknesses, and you pick your top 5 weaknesses. And you do that independently, and I do that on purpose. And on the last page, you see where your matches are. So the last page has the strengths next to the corresponding weakness. And the simplest one to understand is, let's say on page 1, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty persistent, and it ends up in your top 5. I'm a persistent person. I stick with things longer than most people think is reasonable. That's what makes me successful. I'm a person who doesn't let go. Awesome. But on page 2, you see a weakness, stubbornness. Yeah, stubbornness. I stick with things longer than most people think is reasonable, right? And people literally do this and they don't see the connection immediately. Then you go to the last page and persistence, the strength, is right next to stubbornness, the weakness. And you go, aha, right? Oh, I never thought of it that way. A CEO that I was doing this with once, critical and judgmental was the weakness. And he actually hadn't picked the corresponding strength. But when he saw analytical and rational right next to critical and judgmental, he was like, oh, wow, I guess that's why I am the CEO. I guess that's exactly what's made me successful. But for 50 years of my life, my parents, then my teachers, then my employees, then my wife, then my kids have been like, you're too critical and judgmental. When in fact, my analytical and rational nature is what's made me so successful in the business world. So that's how the assessment works. There's 52, and it shows people, and sometimes it's amazing. People will match all 5, right? They'll pick 5 strengths, 5 weaknesses. They go to the next page, and they're like, yep, you know, that's me. All of these things are connected. You know, I'm organized, and yeah, that makes me inflexible, because if everything has to be in the right spot, then everything else is the wrong spot. And that means there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And if you're organized, it's not about thinking outside the box. It's about putting things in the boxes that have labels on them, you know, and that doesn't allow for a tremendous amount of freedom. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's a strength and a weakness. And so that's what the assessment does, because the most common question people would get after hearing me speak, or that I would get after people would hear me speak, is, okay, what's good about this bad thing about me? And if we can't answer that question, then it's a cute idea, but it's not really useful. And so then more and more people want it for their kids. So we designed a separate assessment for the kids, which just simplifies it down to about, I think, 25, 28. And it uses sentences instead of big words like obstinate or stubborn or persistent. And it just says things like,
on Jim.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Well, it's also just good for anybody who likes things to be a little more straightforward. I've had people in EO ask me, one of the traits is hedonistic. And I'll have somebody shout out, you know, what's hedonistic? And I'm like, you're in EO. You probably drink to put it down. Check it off. Hedonistic. Don't worry about what it means. Just check it off.
That's so true. And I tell you, what I go back to right away when you're explaining this, Dave, is being in the Florida Keys with you for the family retreat we were all at together, and sitting there in the big glass room and going through the test, and then sitting down with Jamie and our older sons. Our little ones were not in because they're too small. But learning, like, oh my gosh, I've been focusing on that weakness instead of the strength side, on my children, where I promised I wouldn't be that guy, because yeah. I had that same misunderstanding, ADD, talk too much, all the things that are, you know, takes crazy risks, steps out of line, whatever it is. And I'm like, I've been focusing on that weakness side without any acknowledgement of the strength. And what I found is I was doing it to my kids. I was also doing it to myself. And like, even this morning, I have a big investor presentation. And there was a simple thing of like translating Google from PowerPoint to Google Slides, something that I stink at. I'm terrible at these details. And I literally have taught myself to remind myself, that's not my freak factor. That I'm, you know what? I can turn to Jen, who's on my team, and say, Jen, could you help me with this? Done in 15 minutes. Where I would have suffered. I would have beaten myself up. So my goal from the Freak Factor, so you know, and we'll go deeper into the results you've gotten us, was, hey, accept yourself a little bit with a little more kindness, and please don't be putting the magnifying glass on your kids' weaknesses. Please put it on both sides and see how they work together. And that yeah. was my big breakthrough of the weekend in the Florida Keys with you.
Well, I think you said the right word there. I mean, step two in the Freak Factor process is acceptance. And I think most of what we're taught about self-improvement, to your point, we want to get better. Helping our kids improve, we want to help them get better. The most common thing that we're taught is find what's wrong and fix it, right? Find the gap, find what's missing, find what needs to be improved. And that just seems like the obvious path. And so when you see something that's wrong, the obvious response is, let's fix it, let's change it. We think, you know, we need to straighten people up and straighten people out. And so I think that word acceptance is really crucial, that our job as parents isn't to fix or change or redesign our kids. It's to understand how they've already been designed, to identify how they work, to define what those strengths are. And I actually learned that, you know, working with people with disabilities. My first job was working with people with developmental disabilities, and with things like a developmental disability, you don't fix it. Wow. And my job was to help that person get a job, but there was no hope of, well, if we could just teach them to fill in the blank, then they would be able to. The only two questions were, what do they like? What are they good at?
There it
and
is.
How can I turn that into employment? But then when I left that environment, I was like, I think that's kind of true for the rest of us too. And I think that's the big mistake we make. You know, we talk about things like, you know, metamorphosis and, you know, caterpillars turn into butterflies. They do, but they always turn into butterflies. They never turn into cows. They never turn into dragons. They always, caterpillars don't magically turn into something that they weren't from the beginning. They have that inside of them, and they become what they were always designed to become. Caterpillars never turn into mice, right? And so when we talk about metamorphosis, that doesn't really happen. your kid turns into what they are designed to turn into when you help to unlock that, not when you go, no, my kid's going to be a fill in the blank and I'm going to turn them into that because that's good or that's better than the than where they're going right now. And so I think that's the key. What is my kid like? What are they good at? Who are they? And how do I tap into that? How do I accept that? Not how do I change that? How do I transform that? How do I work somehow my magic on that? And by the way, you know, my undergraduate degree is in psychology, and there's a guy that tried that. His name is B.F. Skinner, and he told people, give me your kid, and I'll turn them into what you want me to turn them into. And that was a total disaster. All he did was turn them into lunatics. You don't turn a kid into a doctor. You don't turn a kid into an accountant. You don't turn a kid into anything. You have to work with what you have and build on that, not think you're going to turn a kid into something that they aren't.
Yeah. And, you know, Jamie ran Montessori schools for years, and she was my biggest teacher, saying, you are a guide. You're not in charge. You're a guide, and follow the child. Let them lead deeper down the road of, that was one of the biggest lessons you ever taught me in education.
Yeah. And what was huge for us after spending some time with you was not just that we got to take the test separately or that the boys got to take the test separately, but that we took it all together as a family. And so then it created being able to have that experience together, which is something that I definitely recommend anyone that listens to this to do, especially we're home. Let's take advantage of this time to really get to know each other. It gave us a common vocabulary. So what happens is, you know, with us all being home, Jim's in work all of the time. I'm primarily in home. He's primarily in work, but we're all in the same location. And so what tends to happen is he's very driven when he's in work mode, and I'm very artistic when I'm in home mode. And so to blend those two together, you know, and it has been difficult. And there's been moments where he'll start talking to me and I'm like, oh, why are you yelling? Like, turn it down. And he'll say, you know, I'm passionate. We know this, like from the Freak Factor.
From the Freak Factor.
And I'm like, damn it, Dave. Why did you tell him that this is okay? But no, but it's great because then I'm like, okay, you're right. It also means that you're passionate when you are with me and you're passionate when you are focused on something that really matters to you. It's not just that you're passionate when you're bitching about work, but you're passionate when you're wrapping up your family too. And so I think being able to experience that together and take your vocabulary together and really learn gave us something, a common ground to understand that when he says that, he's not just, you know, blowing me off.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the magic that can happen when you do it together is one of the things we do naturally as humans is we focus on our differences, right? And it's easy to see that weakness in your kid, especially when it's a weakness you don't have. You know, you're super organized, they're super messy and creative, right? You're super flexible, go with the flow, they're super persistent, stick with it until the end. And so it's easy to go, oh, well, that's their problem right there. They're not enough like me. We don't usually use that language, but that's how we feel about it, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the unique things that can happen is when you pick your top five and then you look at your kids, it's almost always likely they're going to have at least one match with you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they've got that weakness just like you do, but they also have that strength. And now you've got that bond, whereas you used to think it was you over here, them over here. You needed to somehow bring them over here. You're like, oh, wait a second. We're not so different after all. Or there's at least that one thing that we can really connect on and that I can accept because I've had to accept it myself, or that I struggle to accept because I haven't accepted it in myself. And so that's where some of the magic can happen as well when you do it as a group, is seeing those things you have in common, whereas the easiest thing to focus on is the differences we have.
That's great. I remember that. I think all four of us had one thing in common, like you're saying. And then we had... you and Leland were almost identical, and yeah. Alden and I were almost identical, which I think that we knew how that was going to end anyways. But it is neat to be like, oh,
but it gave extra clarity. It gave, yes, okay, now it's very clear. And that, and with those results, though, I have to go into the results that it got, so that, because our community is always looking at us, Dave, saying, we are not afraid to go off the main road. And, you know, when it comes to education and family, the way that we do things is a little different. And we're okay with that now. And one of the biggest things is exactly what you're talking about, giving them the space to go deep into what they're passionate about as their main part of education, not forcing them, as Skinner said, they're going to become this, just literally backing off. And I think one thing that we've done lots of things wrong, but one thing we've done right is with Jamie's Montessori and your Freak Factor, we gave our oldest the space to say, don't worry what we want. Think about what you want. What are you naturally drawn to? What, and we gave that space, and you have to give up, oh, my son's not going to be a doctor, or what about the PhD? And we look at college as a 50-50. It might make sense, it might not.
For some kids, you know.
Some kids it will, some it not. But for our oldest, so you know, and you know some of this story, you know, he is a great fisherman. He's 16, he gets out of bed at 5:45 in the morning. I mean, how many kids get up that early to do that? Teens. And then all of a sudden, like his mom, they share art. I mean, you wouldn't want me trying to paint something. They might call the authorities. It would be so bad. But Alden is now in the Florida Keys, like where we met you, doing a fishing internship with a young mutual friend of ours who's killing it in the charter fishing business and is a professional fisherman, you know, making great money doing what he loves. And then the sneaker art. And I wanted to show you this on the interview because the sneaker art, again, I put out, we write up our updates on our education and it got a lot of comments, like talking to my son about money and letting him go into what he likes. And the sneaker art, you were one of the first people who said, hey, I love this. I want stuff for stage time, you know, make it Freak Factor with pink goldfish and Tyrannosaurus Rex and the word freak. So as I get to show everyone, it's going to come up backwards. Is your shoes, and we have both.
Hold
of
on,
them.
The other one is still working.
We're still working on them. They'll be getting sent up to you.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
This is my favorite part. We were just adding this last night.
It's upside down.
There too. But so
I love it.
So they're in process, but yes. They're.
And Dave is tall with big feet, so we had to find the right sizes that fit. But again, you know, he got so much out of it. And to see, I said, Dave wants a pair of shoes. I didn't, yeah. I introduced him. I could never do the push-ups for him. I couldn't do the artwork, but I gave the space and honored it. And then all of a sudden friends like you stepped in and said, wow, I want a pair of those. I want a pair of those. So he's giving a service of his artwork, getting paid for it. And he loves it.
And he's feeling validated, I think, too. When somebody that's that age, you know, we naturally have all of these experiences inside of us, right? And then now with what's happening in the world, I'm so grateful that he has a couple of projects to work on, because I can only imagine being the type of person he is, being artistic and such as that, that it'd be really challenging if he didn't have something to be working toward.
Yeah, well, there's always that question. It's like, well, how are you going to get paid for that? Or, well, how does that work? And, you know, sneaker art is an unusual way to get your art out into the world, right? I don't need a canvas. There's only so many spots on my wall for art, but I travel all the time and, you know, I wear pink shoes, and just like I've done with my shirt, and just like I've done with my hat, and just like I've done with my glasses, why can't I have my own stuff instead of somebody else's, right? Why can't I have something that's exclusive to me, which is beautiful too, because you're honoring his uniqueness. And then through his art, he's able to help other people focus on their uniqueness, right? And if people are paying attention to my off-the-rack pink shoes, what's going to happen when... and think how beautiful that is, too, because that's a self-fulfilling cycle, because then when I'm on stage and somebody says, those shoes are amazing, who did your shoes? You know, boom, this, you know, I'm up in front of 500 people. I'm in front of 1,000 people. Now we need to get me back on stage because Zoom calls aren't good for showing my shoes. But I think that's a great opportunity. And then that's a real business, right? That's a real business. Not I'm at home painting landscapes and my mom thinks it's cute, but, you know, I don't have any way to make money. And so I think that's a creative combination of I'm into this, but okay, how do I find a situation that allows me to get rewarded for it, right? And to turn it into something valuable.
Yeah. And I would have to say, and I'm sure you would agree or disagree if you need to, but you and I could have never picked what we're doing in school.
I didn't know it existed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we were trying to say is even with the sneaker on, I'm like, it made no sense to me. But I said, okay, you know, that's pretty cool. And I just wrote about it. And then all of a sudden the market spoke the same way it spoke about your Freak Factor test and your books and your speaking. You just wouldn't have known that. And that's where I tell people, we try to pick a line before we've even surveyed the environment and given ourselves the chance to go deep into something that might seem a little freakish or weird, but it can make all the difference. I think it makes.
Yeah.
And David, I was wondering, I remember you gave a number of something about some people's speed reading or words that they read per minute. And so I want you to speak a little bit, you know, so when you discover your children's freak factor and when you see something that they're really phenomenal at, or you discover their weakness, either one, how do you what story can you tell or that example to help parents understand how to either like not try to strengthen the weaknesses and to really just focus on strengthening the strengths?
Yeah, so the way I explain it is that when you try to fix a weakness, first of all, you can't, and it's always going to be there, and why would you want to? Because there's a corresponding strength. But let's say you focus on fixing that weakness, right? You're going to make small incremental improvements. So someone's a 3 out of 10 on something, mm-hmm. fill in the blank on what it is, right? And you're going to work, and you're going to fight, and you're going to coach, and you're going to train, and you're going to give them books to read, and you're going to send them to workshops, and you're going to yell at them and put incentive programs in place. And you're going to get them up to a 5 out of 10. Now, what does that get them? It gets them absolutely nothing. They made a small incremental improvement. They went from below average to average. And who's looking to hire that? Who's looking to buy that? Who's looking for that? Meanwhile, there's something over here, one of their strengths, where they were an 8 out of 10 when they grew up, when they were born. They've always been artistic. They've always been athletic. They've always been fill in the blank. And you say, wait a second, I'm going to build on this strength. And when you build on this strength, there's an opportunity for exponential improvement, right? For the rewards to start to go vertical. And one of the examples of that, there's two that I can use. One is, like you said, in speed reading. So they did this thing where they helped kids who were bad at reading. They could read about 150 words a minute and or 100 words a minute. And they did a speed reading course for 6 weeks and they got the kids to 150 words a minute. But so that's 50% improvement. Okay, nice. But those kids, even after the class, were still reading at half the speed of the already good readers. So the good readers could read 300 words a minute, the other group. And they gave them that class, and they ended up reading 3,000 words a minute at the end of the class, right? We're talking about 1,000% improvement, right? Mm. So one group, oh yeah, they got a little better. And what's that going to do for them, right? Are they going to become editors? Is that a useful skill for them in that particular situation? Meanwhile, these other people were already better to begin with. And you think, so here's what we do with the strengths is not only do we mess up on the weakness and we go, oh, I'm going to focus on that. We go, ah, their strengths are their strengths. Put it on cruise control. It's always going to be there. Why bother with it? Because that's where all the improvement is going to be, that they're already good enough. And that's one of the mistakes of traditional school. Once you have an A+, what else can you get? And the answer is nothing. But in life, there's no such thing as that. If you make $100,000, you can make $200,000. You make $200,000, you can make $300,000. If you make $300,000, you can make $400,000. You can have a better and better and better relationship with your spouse. You can be more and more happy. You can make a bigger and bigger impact on the world. There's no end. But in school, you hit 100% and that's it. Yeah. And so we think like, okay, they're already getting A's there. Why would we spend more time on that? Because that's the thing. And so that's the other story of kind of exponential is that minimum wage in baseball is $500,000 a year. And you got to be one of the best in the world to be in Major League Baseball. But if you're sitting in your uniform on the bench and you never even get in the game, they have to pay you $500,000 for Major League Baseball. Not minor leagues, once you get to the big show. And you have to be one of the best in the whole world. I mean, people come from the Dominican Republic. They come from Japan. They come from Venezuela. This isn't just the best in the U.S. So you're the best in the whole world. Mm-hmm. You get $500,000. But the highest paid player in baseball last year got $30 million, right? 60 times. And he's not 60 times better. He's a little bit better, but the rewards at the end start to become exponential. So that the difference between an 8 and an 8.5 out of 10, the difference between a 9 and a 9.4, I mean, Jim and I know this from speaking. There's a lot of people who are in the speaking business and they're not in the speaking business. They get mugs, they get pens, they get a plaque. They get a thank you card. They get a gift card to Barnes & Noble, and there isn't even a Barnes & Noble in their town anymore. When you're a 4 out of 10 on speaking, if you're a 6 out of 10 on speaking, and even as Jim knows, the difference between at the very end, yeah. You know, there's people who get $100,000 for an hour of their time on stage. And then there's another people who do an 8-hour training program and somebody gives them $250.
Yeah.
The other person isn't 400,000 times better than them. Mm-hmm. That's just not reality, right? It's that one person had that strength to begin with. They didn't just want to be a speaker because speaking seemed cool. They didn't want to be a speaker because it seemed like a good business. They've always been a communicator. They've always had something to say. They've always had that passion. That passion comes out. And they said, wait a second, what if I took that thing I've always been somewhat good at and I got better? I saw somebody post something the other day that kind of made me a little upset. They're like, you know, you can't be good at something until you've been bad at it. And I'm like, I don't think that's true because I'm doing a speech in June virtually to Australia for an organization that I've worked with three times. And the only reason that I'm working with them in 2020 is because in 2005, I gave one of my first paid speeches in my entire life to a group in Australia. And I've been getting referrals for the last 15 years from that one talk. Yeah, I'm better. Absolutely. If I wasn't better, that'd be shameful. But I wasn't bad to begin with. I got a standing ovation. I had people who were pumped up. They were buying my CDs that I'd written on in Sharpie and I'd been burning on my computer the night before after running to the Australian version of Staples to get more and to put little labels on it and put them in a clear case. I was a loser, but I was pretty good. I was 7 out of 10. I was 7.5. I was decent. I was above average. My natural talent was something, and then I built on it, right? Yeah. And so I think that's a mistake. We're always telling people, we almost throw away what you're good at. Get out of your comfort zone. No, your comfort zone's there for a reason. Build from your comfort zone. Build on those strengths. That's where you have opportunities for massive improvement and huge impact, right? Huge impact on the world.
Yeah, I love it. And like you said, give your kids the chance to build on something that makes sense. That's logical that they show a natural talent. And it's why would we, well, they don't have to push the ball uphill. Why not give them the chance to push the ball downhill? And that's what we love about your stuff. The Freak Factor has absolutely changed our family. I love to, and I want to, before we get off, I want to make sure people know where to contact you, because we're going to encourage our entire community to take the Freak Factor test as a family. One of the best things they can do during this pandemic. But I want to ask Dave a question. And this is a question that we always have fun with to kind of highlight on. Dave is a wise guy right now, but what would 75-year-old Dave say to the Dave of today? So we're looking many years into the future for you. What would that Dave say to you today? Because he's going to be wiser and probably been through more experience. What advice do you think he'd give you today with all the ups and downs and things that are going on?
That's a good question. I think 75-year-old Dave would hopefully say thank you for thinking about 75-year-old Dave when you were 25. You know, I mean, you picked 75, but one of the exercises I've taught people for years that I think I got from Stephen Covey or something like that is think about your 80th birthday. Who do you want to be there? What do you want them to say about you? And then live a life now that enables that to happen.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
And so I've done that exercise. I've worked through that exercise with other people, and my whole life has been directed towards that moment. One of the reasons I take care of my health is because you can't have an 80th birthday if you don't take care of yourself. One of the reasons I've spent so much time one-on-one, I mean, you talk about board meetings. One of the reasons I spend so much time one-on-one with my children is because I think about having them at that birthday party, having my grandkids at that birthday party, and what would they say about me? I got a little choked up. I was listening to a new song by Kesha the other day because she'd done a duet with one of my favorite artists, Sergil Simpson. And so I was listening to the album, and she had this song about she's never going to have a father-daughter dance. And the whole song was about what a terrible father she had and how she's never going to have that moment. And I got choked up because that was the kind of life that I was trying to create for my daughters, right? And that I have. You know, they're 18, 16, and 13. We have that relationship, right? They have that stability and that security. So what I would hope 75-year-old Dave, you know, Dave would say is, you know, thank you for thinking about 75-year-old Dave when you were 25, for building this life then, because you can't make it up at the end. You can't figure it out later. You can't sort it out afterwards. You can't cram from 73 to 75 to have that better birthday party. No. You know, that's not reality. It has to be a long foundation. And I think, I didn't know about board meetings when I was a young dad, but my dad didn't do it super often, but he took us out on what he called dates, right? One-on-one, he had four kids. It's a little weird to have a date with your dad because that tends to be a romantic situation. But we just do something one-on-one because he knew you don't get a lot of individual attention when there's four kids in the family. Exactly. And so I just took that when I was a parent but I ramped it up and I, you know, one-on-one for an hour each week with my girls, even when I was traveling, it was a question of when are we going to do it? Not if we're going to do it. And after 18 years, 16 years, and 13 years of that, we have a relationship that we just couldn't have otherwise, you know? And so I think that foundation is something that I continue to build on. So I hope that's what 75-year-old Dave would say. I think the other thing relevant to what we're dealing with right now is don't panic too much about the moment, because things do change dramatically over time. It's not the end. You know, I've been through the dot-com crisis. I've been through, I was little, but the stock market crash in 87. I've been through 9/11. I've been through the global financial crisis. This isn't the end. You're going to be here for the other side of it. Your family, your friends, your kids are going to be here on the other side of it. And then what are you going to do, right? So don't panic in the moment. Take that long view, because, that's life isn't about April of 2020. Life is about a much longer period of time. And I think if we have that longer term view, it changes the way we live our lives.
Love it. And probably by the 80th birthday, you'll be laughing about it. And it'll be another story in the book,
But we joked about it on the way in. I will be honest. 75-year-old Dave would have told younger Dave, hey, save more money from 2009 to 2019, because it's about to go down and you want to have a little more money saved up when you're supposedly divert. I've always said I have the business I have, and I'm an entrepreneur because my dad got laid off when I was a younger person. I worked 7 jobs in college. Even when I had full-time jobs, I worked part-time jobs on the side. I built my speaking business while I was a full-time college professor. I've always tried to recession-proof my life. And I always said, I can't ever lose my income all in one moment, because there's no single person who can say to me, Dave, we don't need you anymore, and my whole world collapses because I don't have an employer. And then it happened, right? Yeah. Even though I had 18 customers lined up for March and April and May and June, even more. And then it all disappeared in a moment. I wasn't as diversified as I could have been. I wasn't as safe as I thought I was. I did a good job, but I could have done a better job. And I was somewhat short-sighted. And so I think learn from those. I think 75-year-old Dave would say, learn from those experiences. Don't just wait till things get back to normal and go back to doing things the way you were. Learn from the crazy times, lessons that you can use in the other times. Don't forget those, and just be in a hurry to get back to normal.
I love it. Yeah. It's a powerful lesson, and one that if you will face, you're going to be better off in 5 years when another thing happens, but yeah, you'll be better prepared and you can continue to evolve. Yeah. Well said, Dave. How does our group get in touch with you? I got a picture here of the Freak Factor book, but one of our favorites is the Freak Factor for Kids. It has been read many, many, many times at bedtime.
We actually have two copies of the kids' ones. One of them's destroyed because they've read it.
If we show it, it's ripped and just,
And then
that's my favorite kind, though.
Yeah,
it's well used. That book away as well, because, running schools like I've done, I have parents that'll come in and say, my child is different, special needs children or higher needs, different ability children will come in. And yours is one that I always give them, because I think that it shows how something that we focus on as being a negative can just become such a grand positive. And I think it's so wonderful for children to have a positive role model of turning that tide. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the simple way to find me, the place where everything is just my website. So drendall.com, D as in David, and then rendall.com. If you Google David Rendall, I'm at the top of the list. If you Google the Freak Factor, which no one does, it's at the top of the list. And drendall.com has the Freak Factor. It has a 30-minute version of the keynote, so people could see that whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's got a link to the book. And then it's got, in the resources section below the Freak Factor, it's basically 4 blocks, Freak Factor, Freak Factor for Families, and then some other stuff. Freak Factor, there's a resources tab. Click on that. There's a questions to help you know your strengths and weaknesses, but also the assessment that you guys referenced. It's free. It's right on there. And then below that's Freak Factor for Families. It's got a link to the kids book, but it's also got the kids book on video, because I wanted people, like you said, people with special needs. And in some cases, like you said, people who aren't going to read a book anyway. But if a kid has dyslexia or ADHD and can't or won't read a book, I wanted it to be accessible to everybody. So I turned it into a video The kids book now, the one you showed there with the pink cover, you'll see it looks differently. It has a chapter on parenting and it has the kids assessment in it. So we took the chapter from parenting in the Freak Factor book. So I wanted to beef it up and make it more of a resource. So the kids assessment is in there, but also on the resources page on the website below Freak Factor for Kids and Families, the kids 20 questions to help them discover their strengths and weaknesses are there. And the assessment for kids is there as well. And then a good way to connect with me is on social media. I think I'm maxed out on friends right now, and I get rid of the bad ones, and then I only have room for 5 more, and then I'm maxed out again. But all my social media, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff, there's tabs for all of that kind of stuff. So that's the best way to get me. My email and everything's on there. But I try to make all that stuff freely available. The books are all on Amazon and there's links on there as well, but you can watch the videos without paying anything. I don't try to grab your email or anything like that. And I can send you guys the assessments if you want to make that available on email or whatever, but that's the easy way for people to get it is drendel.com.
We recommend your stuff all the time. So
yeah.
We appreciate it. And I hope to be able to see you in person again soon. I know we're all on a little lockdown, even though we're not that far from each other. You know,
that feels good. I think I can see surfboards. It kind of feels like I'm there. I think I see a surfboard in the background. Is that what that is? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully next time we see you on a warm beach again, because that's where we like to see you the most. So, but we hope to see you again soon. In the meantime, we're encouraging everyone to do your work. We love it. We appreciate it. So please keep doing it because it's made a huge change in our life.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Feels good to be doing something after being locked down for so long.
That's it. Well, thanks, Dave. We'll hope to see you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.